Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Bearing Precious Seed podcast. We're in the School of Acts, and this is the Resurrection module. And I'm telling you, this is probably one of my favorite modules, because I don't really believe that you can study the book of Acts, live in the book of Acts, without having a strong revelation that Jesus is alive. And as we get into this study, you're going to see the power of resurrection. It's not just something we study in the New Testament. No, that power of resurrection was saturating the Old Testament as well. And we're going to touch into that. So let's just pray and then let's dive into the book of Acts. Heavenly Father, we're asking for that Holy Spirit anointing of resurrection. In fact, Holy Spirit, you were the very one who raised Jesus from the dead, and you dwell in us. So we're asking that you would help us to understand and to walk in this authority, in this life, as we set our eyes upon the Word of God, upon Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. You're alive, and we approach you as alive. We don't go to the tomb to know you. We seek your face. So, Father, we thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we get into this, we've got to begin with Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 17 and 19. We see insight here. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Now, that's what you want to underline in your Bible. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him a figure. Now, in Romans chapter 4, we're going to take this thought further. And it's more than a thought, isn't it? It's revelation. And the Bible says in verse 17, Romans 4, 17, as it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. Abraham before God, whom he believed, yes, God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, Abraham was a man of faith. And this walk of faith, it wasn't an overnight process. This walk of faith, it was transpiring over decades. And in fact, at age 75, the Lord appears to him and says, Abraham, I need you to go to a land you don't know about. Abraham begins to walk by faith. Once Abraham gets into the land, he has to live there by faith. And then the Lord begins to give him the promise. Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. And out of you, Abraham, I'm going to bless every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Now, this is very powerful, because Abraham was alive at the Tower of Babel. And he watched tongues come down. He saw the nations divided. And then he watched them go to the four corners of the earth. He witnessed all that. And then God comes to him and says, hey, Abraham, this seed that I'm going to give you, it's going to bless all of those nations. So this really touches Abraham. Now, he doesn't know what it means, but he believes it. And he begins to move forward in faith. Well, you know the story. Abraham and Sarah, they weren't able to have children. So the first major miracle was that God gave them Isaac when they were past the ability to bear children. But you know, this walk of faith didn't end there. Oh no, it was probably just getting started on a whole new level. Well, the time comes where God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I need you to do something. I need you to sacrifice your son, this son of your love. Abraham's, okay, Lord, I won't hold anything back from you. So God says, Abraham, I need you to go 3 days, a journey of 3 days, and I'm going to take you to a mountain, and I'm going to show you the place. Now, so he takes him to Mount Moriah, and which is where the city of Jerusalem is going to be birthed. Now, it didn't exist yet. So here's Abraham. He tells his servants, he says, you guys stay here. I and the boy are going to go over there, and then we're going to come back. So Abraham's faith was already in that realm that we're going to go over there, I'm going to sacrifice Isaac, and we're going to come back. And this is amazing. So Abraham puts the wood on Isaac. They go up to Mount Moriah, and Isaac is going up the hill, and he says, Father Abraham, we have everything here for this sacrifice, but we're missing the sacrifice itself. And Abraham prophesies. He says, God's going to provide this. Well, that's right. God was going to provide it. Abraham lays Isaac down. He takes a knife. As soon as he raises it up in the air, he had passed the test. And God stops him. God begins to speak blessings upon him. Now, what was happening here? Well, this is where we see Abraham was already operating in resurrection faith. He knew that God had promised him a seed, and that seed would bless all the nations on the earth. So in order for God to fulfill this, when I sacrifice my son, God is going to have to raise him back to life. And you know, when we talk about this, we're getting into a very deep realm of faith, because here's God's faith from above coming down, and here's Abraham on the earth. His faith is reaching up, and this resurrection faith of God and Abraham was mingling together. In fact, this very mark of faith is the mark that is on the Jewish nation. You say, how has the Jewish nation survived so much? Well, there's a mark of resurrection on them. How has the Christian church survived so much? Well, there's a mark of resurrection upon the church. It's the very power of resurrection that has kept the plan of God moving forward in the earth. And that's why we're studying this. Now, Paul said in the book of Philippians 3 and verse 10, he said, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. Don't you want to know him? I want to know him. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want to know Jesus, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul understood there's more to this than just knowing Jesus. This power of his resurrection is a key to this Christian life. Hence, that's why we're going to study this. Now, in order to get into this, we're going to have to look at Jesus, at his resurrection. We've looked at the prophetic type, Abraham and Isaac. Now, let's go to Jesus himself. Now, the Bible says, before we get into this, before we get into his resurrection, in Luke 22, 41 to 47, here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying. He knows what's going to happen to him. And he's saying, Lord, Father, if there's another way, let it happen. And he said, but there's not. So he's under such a burden, and he's praying, and an angel comes down from heaven and touches him and releases such strength into him. And the Bible says, then he began to pray more fervently. Isn't that interesting? Jesus wasn't done praying. He needed strength from the throne of God in order to complete his praying. Wow, that's something to meditate. After Jesus gets done praying, he stands up, he goes over to his disciples. They're asleep. He wakes them up, and just as he's waking them up, there comes Judas and all of the guards sent by the Pharisees. And they come up and they say, well, we're looking for Jesus. And then the Bible says in John 18, verse 6, Jesus said, I am. And when Jesus said, I am, the power of God hit that place. All of those soldiers fell down. And when they finally got up, they had to know something hit them. They arrest Jesus. Now, in order to get a better view of what's going on here, we have to go to Mark 14, 51 and 52. Because the Bible says that there was a young man who was following this crowd who had arrested Jesus. And when one of the guards saw him, the guard grabbed him. The young boy was afraid. He wiggled out of his clothes and ran away naked. Oh, I tell you what, there's some keys here. What happened? Well, first of all, we got to look at this little boy. First of all, the garments he was wearing was a thin linen garment, very loose fitting. It's not the type of clothes that you're going to put on in order to go up into the mountains of Jerusalem at night. No, no, no. When you look at this garment, the definition, you find out this is a burial garment. So when a person dies and they're going to bury them, this is a very loose, fitting, thin garment that they put over the body, just covers them enough, and they bury them. So what happened? Well, this is what happened. Jesus is praying. The angel comes down. There's an impartation of strength. Jesus prays through into such glory. Here is the great I am. He's conquered already in prayer. And then comes the soldiers, Judas, we're going to take you captive. And they say, we're looking for Jesus. And Jesus says, I am. The power of God hits the place. And just a stone throw away from where they are, there is a cemetery. And that's true, still there today. When that power of God hit that place, there was a young boy that had just been buried. And that power of resurrection, remember, it didn't just start here. It was God's man Abraham was in Jerusalem 2,000 years before. And Abraham's faith of resurrection was reaching up to God, and God's faith for resurrection was reaching down to Abraham. And that faith was mixing together. And as Jesus was praying, he was tapping into that power of God. And he hadn't even died. Jesus hadn't died on the cross, or he hadn't even been raised from the dead. And yet, that power of God came down upon that young boy and raised him back to life. Now, I'd like to know how he got out of his grave. He did. Don't know if he had to dig it out or had to push a stone. I don't know what he did, but he knew he had to get out. So the little boy gets out of his grave, and he's trying to figure what's going on. And you and I would do the same. And he hears the commotion. He sees the torches. And so what's he going to do? Hey, I'm back. I'm living again. I need to get some help. I don't have very many clothes on. I mean, I just have this little sindone outfit on. I'm cold. So he went over to where these men were. And as he's approaching, he's watching a man pull out a sword, cut another man's ear off. And then Jesus takes control of the whole crowd, reaches down, takes the ear, and sticks it back on Malchus's head. As he gets close, one of the soldiers sees this boy, grabs this lightweight garment, and the boy, he's scared. What's going on? He wiggles out of it because it's not very tight, and he runs off and goes home. Now, I would have liked to have been there at the house when his mom and dad, still grieving at the loss of their son, they hear the knock on the door, and they open it, and there's their naked son. He's standing there, shivering, and he had a lot of stories to tell that night. He had stories to tell about what happened when he died, where he went, and then how he came back to life, how he dug himself out, and then what he saw in the garden. The gospel was already being preached that night, and Jesus had not even been crucified yet. Things were being stirred up in Jerusalem. Well, when they finally crucified Jesus 3 days and three nights, it brings us to right before Sunday morning. So the Bible says that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, James, Salome, Joanna, they get up early before the sun came up. And they began to head to the tomb. Now, they didn't have a car. Now, they had to walk. So it was going to take some time. So they left. They left before the sun was up. And as they're leaving, the Bible says in Matthew 28 that before the sun arose, right, there was a great earthquake. So those ladies felt that earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled the stone away and sat on it, and his face was brighter than the sun, and the power of God hit the place, causing the guards to fall down on their faces like dead men. That's power. And then Jesus walks out. Oh my goodness. That's power. Well, the ladies finally show up, and by the time they arrived to the tomb, the sun had come up so they could see. And before they got to the tomb, they saw, hey, wait a minute. We were worried about the stone, who was going to roll it away, and that's not a problem. The stone has been moved. Now, they didn't see the angel sitting on the stone. No, it was the guards who saw that. By the time those ladies get there, either the angel had left or he was there and they just couldn't see him. As soon as Mary Magdalene sees that the tomb is open, those ladies stop. She runs back and finds Peter and John. She tells them. Those disciples, they grab their coats or whatever, and they run to the tomb. They leave Mary behind. In fact, the Bible says that John was so fast, he outruns Peter, and he gets to the tomb first, and he stops outside the tomb. He doesn't go in. Peter finally shows up, and he doesn't stop. He goes right in to the tomb, just like, you know, Peter in the boat. You know, I'm going to walk on water, and I'm going to run into the tomb. He runs into the tomb, and then right behind him comes John, and Jesus isn't there. The grave clothes are folded. They're confused. They're wondering what happened, and so they return home. Mary finally shows up, and she stands outside of the tomb, crying, weeping. And so finally she gets up the courage, and then she enters the tomb. When she does, her eyes are open, and there are two angels. And the angel on the right begins to talk to her. Now, when you study the Lord, you see that there are two angels that are often seen with him. They're like two generals that stand next to the king. And I guarantee you, these are two very powerful angels. They could be Gabriel and Michael. That's who I would think, but that's supposing. We see that these two angels walked into Abraham's camp in the book of Genesis right before they were sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know they're powerful. They called down fire and consumed a whole area of land. So these are not angels that we're going to mess with. They're the Lord's angels. And we also see Daniel when he's down by the river. The Lord is standing up over the river, and there are two angels on each side of the river. The angel on the right side interacts with Daniel. Same thing here. We see that Jesus, before he is taken back up to heaven, there are two angels standing there with the disciples. So there are two angels that minister to the Lord. And the angel says to Mary, "Who are you seeking?" And the power and the glory of God is saturating this place. And in the presence of these angels, I mean, Mary is on her face. She bows down and she's weeping. She said, I'm looking for Jesus. Where did you take him? And they said, fear not. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place. Come over here and look. Look, he's not here. He's alive. Now go back and tell his disciples. Can you imagine what's going through her? Her heart is rejoicing. Her mind is struggling. She stands up and she begins to back out of the tomb, and she recognizes there's a man behind her, and her first thought is, well, it's the gardener. So she says, well, I'm going to talk to the gardener and try to get more information. And as soon as she starts to talk to him, there's Jesus, and he speaks her name like nobody else can, Mary. And when his voice spoke, she had revelation, Rabboni, teacher. And she falls at his feet, and the other ladies fell at his feet and began to worship. And I think it's very powerful because there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she's there too. She is at his feet worshiping. Now, that's the first time we ever see this in Scripture. I mean, we saw her pregnant with Jesus. She gives birth to Jesus. She raises Jesus. And here at the tomb, she's on her face, touching his feet and worshiping him. Finally, Jesus gets them up, and he's so excited to see them. He loves them so much. And he says, I want you to go back and tell my brethren. Tell them that I'm going to ascend to the Father and to your Father, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. They run away, and I tell you what, they are ecstatic. They are so full of joy, and they're shaking. They're afraid. You and I would be afraid too. So we would be shaken. Now, resurrection power. Resurrection. In order to further look at this, the Bible says in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints walked into Jerusalem and appeared to many people. You say, what's happening? Not everybody that came out of Abraham's bosom got their new glorified body, but there were some that did. And as a testimony to Jerusalem, that wicked city, there were those who received their glorified bodies, and they walked into Jerusalem. They weren't walking in as zombies. They were walking in full of that glorified body as a witness and a testimony against that city that had just crucified the Son of God. That's power. And that's what we're looking at. Listen, that's enough for this podcast. We're going to pick it up in the next one. You don't want to miss it. You want to get your Bible out and study this. And I'm going to reiterate it. Resurrection power is at the core of Christianity. To the degree that we believe in resurrection and speak resurrection, we're going to live in the power of it, and it's going to change our Christianity. Well, that's enough for now. We love you. Remember, Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. So go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And listen, God bless you. Until next time, bye-bye.